Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany, radio for your imagination. Thank you so much for tuning in today, for listening to the show that hopefully helps you wake up your imagination and start to begin to explore creating and stories. And I'd love to share those on Art Zany Radio. I am going to open up with a little bit of music from Somalia. And this is, I'm sure I'm not quite pronouncing it right, but I'll do it, I give it my best shot. This is Kaya Yaga, except we'll have to listen to how they say it in the song. I was practicing, and I know that didn't come out right. This is from a Smithsonian collection called Freedom Songs of the Somali Republic. And this is Abdullah Kershi and Ahmed Shea. And this is their song, as I mentioned. I'm going to say it afterwards after I listen to it one more time. And the translator on Google said it was Our Fight. So let's take a listen on Art Zany Radio to this Somali song. Okay, I played the wrong one. That's the one that's kind of come up a little bit later. Somehow I clicked the button. Here we go. This is a song again from Freedom Songs of the Somali Republic. Dul Kayaga. There's a little bit left. We'll go ahead and save that. That is a really beautiful tune. It kind of is going to set the mood for today. I'm going to be talking with Somali author Ahmed Ismail Yusuf. And really, he has shifted something in my world, and I really hope to be able to share that with you today. I am so honored. I had the chance to spend some time with him earlier this summer. I'm especially thinking about him this week, as this week was the week that we gathered in our community for Neighborhood Night Out. His Ahmed Ismail Youssef is the author of the short story collection, The Lion's Binding Oath. Through stories that span the years before and during Somali's civil war, Youssef weaves together Somali's politics, social and religious conflicts, with portrayals of the country's love of poetry, music, and soccer. And I've already talked about another time on the show before he came down to Northfield in June about a comment that he made that really caught my attention. And I'll just remind you, he was talking about raising a teenager and how his American son is in his life. And what caught my attention was that he noticed about Americans that there are words that we say that he does not allow to be said, and the ones that he does not, as a father and an American, say. And those English words are busy, bored, and tired. And, you know, I have tried this summer to have a better response to folks that I meet and ask me, how are you doing? And what I've learned is it's really hard to have a good answer to that question. And it's easy to say that, you know, life is busy, or, wow, I'm really tired, or, boy, I'm ready for a break. I have to think in advance as I begin my day, how will I respond to folks in my community when I'm asked, how are you doing? And I really do want to connect with my neighbors and friends and folks in my community. And I think I've probably failed more this summer than I've been thinking about it than I've succeeded in, because it's a really hard habit to break. And I definitely want to be open and real and positive. And I want to also honor those sort of social norms that happen and respect everyone's time. And it's been a challenge. So I'm going to ask you to take the challenge too, to be real, to present your whole self, to engage with the truth, to share your life with others and learn about the lives of those around you, because that's something that I'm working on too. And I hope that that's something that intrigues you. I will always remember him for teaching me that. And he is a fascinating man. And reading his stories is another way that I learned about his world. And I do love reading, and I would love if everyone also read more books. And so today with you, I'm going to share an interview I had with Ahmed Ismail Youssef. His short story collection, again, is The Lion's Binding Oath. And I love his publisher. It has a really unique perspective, I think, on publishing and reading. So I'm going to read you a little bit from their sort of mission. And it's Catalyst Press. And it says, it's an independent publishing company founded in 2017. Books are a spark for change in the world, and we publish books that reveal the world from different perspectives, tilting or reversing or tweaking our own understanding of what's real, true, necessary, and, or I should say, beautiful. And I thought that was a great perspective to have on the world. So I think that there are many ways to learn about the people in our neighborhood. And I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Ahmed Ismail Youssef. He arrived in America from Somalia as a high school dropout. He wasn't able to speak English. He wasn't even sure of his actual age. And it was a very difficult journey. But one of the things he discovered along the way was that he loved books. And one of the first books he read was I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And he did that using a Somali to English dictionary. And I thought that was a pretty phenomenal feat. Books do change the course of our lives. They change the course of his life. And now he is on his own writing journey. He's got 2 college degrees, wrote a play, a nonfiction book about Somalis in Minnesota, and his short story collection, The Lion's Binding Oath. It sends readers to his beloved country of Somalia, immersing us in the sights and sounds of a country on the brink of war. Youssef's work documents a country tearing apart, yet reveals its deep pride and quiet hope despite instability. Youssef, who has resided in Minneapolis for over 2 decades, hopes that his work shines a light on both the immigrant journey as well as the Somali people and the legacy of his homeland. So I invite you to listen as we have a conversation with Ahmed Ismail Youssef on The Lion's Binding Oath. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. It is quite an honor, and I want to congratulate you on this book, The Lion's Binding Oath. It is a lovely collection of stories, and the first thing I want to ask you about is, have you always been a really great storyteller? Has that been part of your history?
First of all, I would like to say thank you for having me No, I'm not exactly sure. What I know for a fact is just that I did like to talk, or I actually, in an early age, I knew that actually, that I always wanted to talk, so people just exactly shush me, or my mother would say, okay, all right, enough now, okay? That's it.
Oh, no more talking.
no more talking until you get the permission from me, because she was also a talker. So
I understand that. and that was something lovely that you sent in the email to me that I thought was a great turn of phrase, which is you said that you're going to be making sure all the talking spirits are present and alert. And I thought that was a neat way to, you know, to think about our time together. And is that a phrase from Somali?
No, actually, I think it just came to mind when I was just exactly talking to you. So
I loved it. Because, I'm going to use that.
Oh, please. because this is a part of Minnesota that I have not visited since I came to the state. I had in mind that I was just going to go around. And then once I came to know that exactly that you were interested in the book, and we were just going to talk about it, I just wanted to say, hey, welcome aboard, and possibly we're going to talk about we're going to go wherever your questions just lead us.
Exactly. That's what I love to do in the show. I think it's important that we follow the moment and let the conversation proceed, you know, however it may unfold. And I especially want to make sure that listeners get to know your story, because it is extraordinary. I think about the fact that you came here unable to speak English and, you know, not even sure, I guess what I read in the promo material was that you didn't even know your actual age. And
no.
That surprised me.
No, because right now I am actually of those times that exactly that you don't really care about age. So I'm using it for a cover now. So if I say I really do not know my age, I'm not lying. but the fact is, I have no idea when I was born. Yeah, the proximity of year, give and take, it's not, you know, it's not more than 2 or 3 years. But still, the confusion is just exactly present.
Let me ask, because in America, birthdays are a really big deal, especially for kids. So is a birthday celebration not the same in Somalia when you grew up?
It doesn't really matter to me. And still it doesn't matter to me. As a matter of fact, when I came to the United States, until until my son just exactly came to the scene, an American child of mine, I had no clue, and actually I did not care much about birthdays. And when my friends were celebrating at the time, I would get to it and just say, okay, all right, happy birthday, okay, just eat your cake and, you know, let's just leave it at that. So no significance whatsoever, seriously. Of course, it's changing a bit, and Somalis just are not in Somalia. They are all over the world. So new generation, or generations in that matter, sometimes you could say that, are actually teaching us a way to, you know, a way just exactly to connect with them. So other than that, no significance whatsoever.
That's a fascinating detail. And this book, The Lion's Binding Oath, illuminates so much of that and shows, I think there's a lot that happens between, there's stories that are set in Somalia and there's stories that are set in America. And I think that that's a really great way to reveal the differences and the culture and language and stories and songs. And I learned a lot from reading this. I mean, I think... I have to confess, I didn't know there were mountains in Somalia. And when,
Of course. How are you?
And I didn't know about the caste system or the British influence or, just even the stories that, talking about, being in the wild with the animals and the farm animals. I think I understood that. But there's so much that it illuminates, and it also some of that gets carried over into the American world as well. And so I congratulate you on that. And and you have been in America now for quite a while. So
yes.
How did it feel to visit those stories and those places from, before the time when there was the Civil War, and it was a different place?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is just that you have the ability to paint a picture or verbalize your memory and bring it back to you. So when you just exactly see it on the page, it is just as though you're trying to resuscitate that kind of life itself. So it is the feeling, it is actually the nostalgia, it is just the point of reference, it is just exactly all the historical content in it. In other words, you're just going to live as, you're just going to drive the history, or you're just going, when you are reading it, or particularly when you are writing it, it is just that you're just exactly trying to bring everything that you left behind with you. And that sometimes it's just exactly all the good and bad, but mostly you just want to relive it.
Right, and I've heard that from other writers too, that once you enter into that memory, you think, wow, I don't know, I can't remember, but every little detail brings a new revelation, a scent, a color, a tactile piece. Like, the senses really help you to reconnect with that. I don't know if that was your experience as well.
Oh, yes. It's just a treasure of that memory itself. It is just exactly what you, that recollection forces you, the making of the story forces you. Making of the story itself is what's leading you, and you dive into issues possibly that at the time when you were living through it, that you did not pay that much of attention to. All of a sudden, you just have a taste and feeling for its value. Value just of simply that it exists at the time, and it was part of you at that time, and it was part of what you know, what you would talk about, and way of life.
And I think that's what comes through for me in the book, which makes it really illuminating about the world in Somalia and the experience in America that immigrants may have. And for a lot of people, I think they won't know reading this book that, you didn't know English a long time, that you weren't taught that in school. It was something that you picked up. And I think that this story is probably the thing that melts my heart so much, was that you were given a pile of books from a relative gave to you and said, here, you have time, why don't you read? And you didn't want to admit that you didn't know how. And one of the authors was Maya Angelou, who, with her book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, it launched your world, really.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was just, I know sometimes just exactly, I don't even still have the words to express how I felt once I finished that book. But it was the key to life, not only a key to life, it was a revelation that somebody who lived this life was just so appreciative of humanity itself. Not only that, but actually she was just able to have me taste the power of words. And ironically, yes, I started the book knowing that I had never read a complete book, or in that matter, really not a book at all, because I only had been through two other books, and each one of them was half, and they were in Somali. So I could still say that, yes. But what was just, it took me 2 weeks to finish the book. Once I was done with it, however, I am still unable to express how much I changed and how much the power of those words just seized me and took ownership of me, which means that I went after every other book and every word in the dictionary that I did not, somehow or the other could decipher the meaning of, or had a taste of the meaning of the word itself. So sometimes I can't even recall you at the moment that I discovered a word from the dictionary and it took me back to Somalia. I wasn't expecting this word to be in English too. And I'm just saying, yeah, for example, some of the words that fascinate me, the first word that I when I learned, when I heard the word procrastination.
Okay.
Yes, I was just saying to myself, oh, my God, oh, my God, I get a panacea for this disease. I thought I was the only one that was suffering from it. And then here I'm in the most powerful nation in the world, and actually when you are not in United States, it's just a mystic place where people are all powerful, not only powerful, but actually all the knowledge, each American's just exactly is armed with a knowledge that they can share with the rest of the world. So I'm just exactly saying this, so advanced country and people do know the word procrastination, and they do it, so I'm not alone.
That's a beautiful story. Wow. And so that when the language and understanding that really gave you, I can just feel it in you that it really changed the trajectory of your life. It changed, you know, the path of how you pursued, you know, everything. And I think that is so amazing that books can do that. And I wish that for everybody to find a book that does that for them and to, you know, find a way to ignite something inside of them that was already there. It's just that the book brought it out.
That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. You just nailed it. That is true. It is, and also, there is some value, there is some connection, or some kind of what do you call a filter? There is a seed somewhere.
Yes.
Yes. So this person just exactly, you just need someone that who tinkles, or some kind of idea that tinkles with it, waking it up, and somehow just let it feel free or let it fly. You know, the minute that exactly that idea meets someone that who knows what the idea itself is about, whether it's words or whether it's math or whether it is science,
yes,
then that's when it takes off. So yes. And also words actually just exactly what builds a bridge between two humanities. It is the key itself that lets you in into a house. Once that you are in the house, it's up to you who to carry conversation with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is something that this book, I think, shows is just the power of words. And for anyone who's just tuning in, this is Paula Granquist. I'm here on Art Zany Radio, and we're talking about The Lion's Binding Oath by author Ahmed Ismail Youssef. And it feels really great to be able to say that, you know, you have this collection of short stories to share, and you have this published, and, you know, you've written plays and other books as well. well, I understand.
Yes.
You've really, and you're a teacher?
Right now, yes.
And so yes. You have really just done amazing things. And I want to start with this book talking about a word that I learned that I thought was a really beautiful word. It's introduced and referenced a couple times in the book, so I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly. Mm-hmm. It is the word H-O-O-Y-O. Is it Hoyo?
Yeah, Hoyo, yes.
Say that again.
Hoyo.
Hoyo.
Hoyo, yes.
Okay. And
yes, that's, yes, go ahead.
I was just going to say you should tell our listeners, because I was surprised to learn its meaning, that it had both a meaning of mother as well as child, but it's used in an interesting way in Somali.
Yeah, I also think it's the most powerful word. Well, you know, one of the most powerful words in any language, but particularly in Somali. There is emotion, emotion is involved. There is actually a value that is involved. It has a major weight, even in, as we speak, in my heart. So Hoyo means mother. So when you are just exactly saying my mother, you could also say Hoyo. When your mother is just exactly saying to you, you're my son or my daughter, she just says Hoyo. It is used also in reference to when you are just trying to pay homage, or when you are just trying to pay your respect to your elders. Sometimes they will refer you as Hoyo too. So yes, it is really a very meaningful. Yes, it's a word that carries its weight around.
Yeah, that was beautiful to learn, and something that of course I didn't know, and that's I love books that teach me things and that open up worlds, and that also that make me think. And there was a line in here, I'm going to grab it. It was talking about privilege, and it's on page 33 if anyone has a copy of The Lion's Binding Oath, and one of the characters and I'm going to ask you for your help in pronouncing her name, M-A-Y-X-A-A-N-O.
Yes. So with the way you pronounce it, wherever you see an X in Somali, for you as an English speaker, you go into substitute that to etch.
Etch.
Etch is in here, yeah. So you will say Mehano.
Mehano, okay.
Yes, there you go.
Mehano.
See, you got it.
I did get it. Okay, I'm glad. I wasn't sure. So in my mind, I wasn't saying it. It was just like it's one of those words where I recognized it, and now I know to say Mehano. And she is saying, let me educate you about privilege. Privilege means when you live such a sheltered life, you don't know what harm you inflict on others. And I think of that very often, you know, as, you know, being in our community and, you know, knowing that there are people from other countries and other places, and I don't want to have that air of privilege, or, you know, want to be able to relate to other people, but it's a really difficult thing to do. And so she teaches some lessons in here.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, whatever you live in, it is the life. Yes, the life that you are leading at the moment is just part of you.
Mm-hmm.
Part of you, which means that you do not know the pitfalls of it. You don't really know. I'm particularly people that who are privileged, people that are inflicting pain on others, mostly are not aware of that. And not exactly the same, but the most, I think, benign crime that people commit is just that exactly when you, particularly when you are privileged, you really have no idea how much of that is just, how much of it that you're carrying around, and how much of it that at times that exactly that people who are not at your level are just seeing you. So even if you are not transgressing against anyone. It is just that you should try to be mindful of others that who are less fortunate around you, or less powerful, or maybe less healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. It's certainly something that, you know, you want to be aware of, and I think that's the part that got me about that definition was that you're not. That's the whole point.
Yes.
And so what do you think we can do to, you know, reduce that barrier or try to, you know, see each other more clearly and experience each other and learn from each other?
Yeah, the rigidity of just knowing all and not knowing anything is just a crime. Rigidity, just exactly when you just prejudge, when you just have an altered form of opinion about particular group of people or about particular religion or even about a particular person. If no one can talk to you, if you don't let your emotional, intellectual also take over, not only the capacity to absorb so much information, but just you have to let at times your emotional intelligence to give you a time to wait and to listen what the others is saying. The word just try to put your feet on your foot on someone else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a meaningless a phrase. It is something that if you live through that somehow at times that you go into feel for the others and you maybe understand what they are going through, and they may understand where you are coming from at times. So just give it a time, I would say. Give it a time. Listen. Just give it a time to listen.
I think that's really beautiful advice, and I think I've heard that from some other folks that have been speaking about cultural differences, and a lot of times we want to walk in and fix everything or change everything or do something, and sometimes just sitting, listening, being is all that's needed. And so that's good advice. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about Mayano. Don't think I maybe said her name. Mayano. No.
Yeah. You're saying it. You got it.
I'm practicing. She shows up in a couple different of stories, and I'd love to hear about how she came to you and how you modeled her. She's a strong woman, and
she's extremely strong woman. I actually used this character in many different ways. I think first of all, I wanted to show the non-Somalis that when this woman shows up, that exactly that there were Somalis of her kind when I was just growing up. A woman that who dresses the same way that she is dressed in the story, a woman that who is not taking any prisoners and any baloney from a male or a man.
Definitely.
A woman that who was just that educated. That I wanted to get across. What I wanted to get across was just also when she is just exactly walking without care in the middle of a city called Burao, that we lived, there was a time that we lived that kind of surreal, peaceful time.
Mm-hmm.
That we had no worries except just looking at the sun, and sun was not exactly also, it wasn't, the weather was not an issue either anyway.
Right. And in one of the stories I enjoyed was that she works with a student to write a book and to collect the songs and the poetry, really, of the you know, Somali, which I thought was something that I'm glad to hear, that there's such a love of poetry in that, you know, when you grew up, and that this is a story about that, putting those words together. And it's a really beautiful story.
Right. So what you see there is just that this woman is a part, of course, of a pillar of a community. She's a pillar of she's part of a very palpable present community. That who also loves stories, not only loves stories, but she is and educated and has her own passion for that kind of a poetry. But beneath it, is just that she is not yet considered to be equal to every other woman. She is born into a community that it is considered to be lower than the rest that she is associating with.
Right.
So, yes. So it is just that this is also a message to Somalis to some extent, that it is just exactly saying, I don't understand this. You know, this woman that who is capable, not only capable, but she is she is just fighting with chauvinism and misogyny and all that. She is just a poet. She is actually a writer. She's beautiful. Every man has just is running after her.
Mm-hmm. She has all of those qualities, and as you mentioned, tries to work that to the community, and just really shows what it really illuminates life for her through your stories of telling, you know, the ways that she's received and the secrets that she has, and it's very enlightening.
Yeah, and she's using it, as a matter of fact, even to the disadvantage that the society, or the burden that the society put on, the limitation that the society put on her, she's using it, she's whipping the society with it. She's actually just reminding whoever that she encounters, and not slamming it on their face, but on her own way, just showing how much she can do, also caring about education in general, and just trying to collect those that who are less fortunate than she is.
And she is definitely a memorable character from this book. And there's so much more we didn't get to talk about. I feel like I could talk to you for another hour, and we'd, you know, continue to learn. It's just really exciting to be able to present to our listeners The Lion's Binding Oath. There are copies available at our Content Bookstore and other bookstores. Ahmed Ismail Youssef is the author. And what a great pleasure it was to have you come down to Northfield. And I hope that this is just the beginning of you sharing your stories with everyone.
Thanks, Paula. I didn't know we ran out of time, but
it goes really fast when it's fascinating. I would absolutely say so. Maybe I'll have to have you back on another time.
Well, I'm gonna be around. I enjoyed our conversation, and seriously, I'm looking forward to the city and meeting you all there.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Youssef.
Thank you. Take care.
I want to thank Ahmed Ismail Youssef. He is the author of The Lion's Binding Oath. I really enjoyed our conversation, and thinking about those things that he said. And he did come down to Northfield a little earlier this summer and visited with us. And one of the questions that we asked him was, how do you say hello in Somali? And you know me, if you listen to this show, pronunciations are sometimes a challenge for me. He told us that it is Iska Waran. Iska Waran. And I hope I'm saying that correctly. It is Tell Me What's New With You. So I thought that's a lovely way that, and maybe we can learn something about that if we're trying to answer that question, as I mentioned in the introduction about how are you doing today? And it's a way for us to begin that conversation of truly listening to each other, of truly, just being with each other, that we don't always have to have, maybe we need to just take a little more time with each other and just sit with each other, as he mentioned, is one of the ways to just be together, and that'll help us come together. I'm going to play a little music now. I picked up a song. This is, I believe he's a British Somali, and his name is R. Manta, and this is from Somali Songs from the Diaspora. And this is his song called Manta. So we'll listen to it on Art Zany Radio.
Sidoo yahay idin kula dadkeego sida dugaaga sulaysa
That was the Manta from Our Manta. That is Somali songs from the diaspora. What a lovely, lovely song, and just a really great experience. And so these are the kind of conversations that you can have on local radio, and I'm really excited that Art Zany Radio for the Imagination is broadcast on KYMN 95.1 The One, or you can listen at 1080 AM, or even streaming on the web at kymradio.net. It airs every Friday at 9:05 and is rebroadcast again on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. So if you missed some of our conversation today, you can go back and either listen on Saturday morning or look at the website, kymnradio.net, to find a rebroadcast that you can listen to of the show. And I want to congratulate KYMN on 50 years of local radio. I think there's nothing like it, and there's something incredible about being able to tell stories in this local community about people around the world and in our community. And there's nothing that I like to celebrate more than that. So keep listening for more celebrations of KYMN and their 50th birthday on local radio. What an extraordinary thing. And folks, I also want to tell you about a few things that are happening and make my art happy list this week. One is on that's coming up soon. The Northfield Arts Guild will have its Art and Ale Party. That is happening on the 18th of August, and that supports creativity at the Northfield Arts Guild. It features local craft and homebrew, adult make and take art activities, live music, mugshots, exhibition, and so much more. You can get your tickets now at northfieldartsguild.org. That's a fun event. This is the fourth annual year. I've been to all of them, and it is quite a wonderful event to celebrate. Also, I want to mention that this weekend, if you're looking for something to do, last week on Art Zany Radio, I talked with Kristen Twitchell, who is the executive director of the Paradise Center for the Arts, and we talked about the Blue Collar Barbecue and Arts Festival. That is happening Saturday, August 11th from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. There is no cover charge for that. You can get a list of all the details at PCABBQ.net, and that is an event that is help support art in Faribault at the Paradise Center for the Arts, and it is an annual festival. It is community sponsored, volunteer operated, and it is one day only. And this is the 10th year of that celebration in Faribault. So there's live music, arts and crafts. There's a barbecue competition, great food and activities for everyone in downtown Faribault this Saturday. Opens off with the Lakelanders Barbershop Chorus, followed by the Cannon River Currents, a couple of Ellen Forsyth, and I don't have the other young lady's name written down. Just some beautiful music from them. Matt Arthur and the Bratlanders are next. Fred the Bear is playing at 2:45. And then Moses Oakland Quartet is next, followed by the most interesting band in the world. And at 6:40, G.B. Layton takes the stage, and Hitchville at 9 o'clock. So it's going to be a big day all day down in Faribault. So I hope you'll join them for that. I want to mention, too, that next week on Art Zany Radio, I'm going to have David Carter from the Bridge Chamber Music Festival returning to the Art Zany Radio studio. I'm very excited he'll be here with me. We're going to talk about that Bridge Chamber Music Festival. And if you haven't heard him speak on the air, hopefully we're going to play some music again. And he does an extraordinary job of talking about the music as we're listening to it. It's something that could make its own show. It's so entertaining. And so the festival does kick off on Thursday, August 16th at 7:30 at the Ernest Recital Hall at St. Olaf College, and with the Artaria String Quartet, and Scott Anderson on clarinet is going to be featured in that. And their group, the Artaria Quartet, is celebrating its 32nd season together. That's a long time for a group to be together. That's pretty incredible. And Scott Anderson is an associate professor of music at St. Olaf College, emphasizing the clarinet. And you know, if you listen to the show, I really love the clarinet. So I hope to be there, and I hope that you will join me as well. That particular concert also features works by Brahms. So that's Thursday, August 16th, the kickoff of the Bridge Chamber Music Festival, which we will celebrate more on Art Zany Radio next week. So I hope that you are enjoying your summer, and that this is a year that you are open to invite the imagination to join you and to celebrate all of these great things that are happening in our world, and you take some time to get to know each other in your community. So you have been listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. Again, this is Paula Granquist. I invite you to add some Art Zany to your life every day, and I really do thank you for listening. So in the meantime, until next time, please enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. August is for the arts at Paradise Center for the Arts in historic downtown Faribault. On Saturday, August 11th, the Paradise celebrates the 10th anniversary of Southern Minnesota's best music festival. This year's Blue Collar Barbecue Arts and Music Fest includes music for everyone. Headliners are G.P. Layton at 6:30 and Hitchville at 9 o'clock. The Lakelanders Barbershop Chorus kicks off at 11 o'clock in the morning, followed by the Cannon River Currents, Matt Arthur and the Bratlanders, Fred the Bear, Moses Oakland Quartet, and the most interesting band in the world. The festival is free with a suggested $5 donation. For more info, go to ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org.